We are moving fast-paced from the industrial age into a digital era. Logos are being replaced with personal brands, and it has never been more important to bring your true self into your business. Today, I have the honor to share a conversation with Dr. Natalia Wichowski, former international best-selling author, speaker, and award-winning LinkedIn unicorn. After an ego-crashing sabbatical and deeply humbling transformation, she came to the conclusion that even the loftiest ambitions are meaningless. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you are making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. It's your host, Ivana Ivanek. And today I have the honor to speak with Dr. Natalia Wichowski. I've been observing her journey for a couple of years now, and what has happened there is incredible. And I am wanting to get you through the story of knowing that pivoting is not a shame. Becoming somebody else or becoming the true self is actually not a nice to have today, but actually something that moves your business forward. It brings more joy, more fun, more ease, more authenticity. But I leave this up to Dr. Natalia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ivana. I am delighted, I'm grateful and excited to be here and to share my journey with your audience.
I will just dive right into it. I would love to know, please take us through the LinkedIn unicorn, Natalia, that you've been a couple of years ago, and then the sabbatical that was so deeply transformational, so we can understand the Natalia today.
Sure. I'll give my best to keep it short. And in the sabbatical, I realized that I'm a person who talks a lot and loves to talk. So in case I'm la, 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 you have my permission to interrupt me because we want to make this juicy and fun. So LinkedIn unicorn. I, at the age of 29, realized, you know what? I don't want to work for other people. I tried it. I gave my best. I worked in the government. I worked for a private company. And for some reason, it didn't work out. So I took my first sabbatical. And in the first sabbatical, I finished my PhD. So I became a doctor of philosophy. And I gave myself the permission to experiment with all the things that are fun and that truly interest me. And I realized that personal branding is fascinating, especially the way how American entrepreneurs, so-called lifestyle entrepreneurs, how they present themselves online using social media to build their dream lifestyle. And a part of me screamed, yes, I so want that as well. So I started as a freelancer, learning about social media, learning about LinkedIn, learning about Instagram, taking public speaking classes, and over a period of 7 years, built an international empire, as you said, as a speaker, coach, consultant, as a trainer for corporates, but also guiding individuals. I won multiple awards. You know, I was on cover of magazines. I've made it all. You know, when you literally looked on the outside, I was this alpha boss babe, however you want to call that. Everything in the materialistic realm, everything that my ego wanted, I have achieved it within that time. I literally could call myself a self-made millionaire. I mean, it doesn't get better, right? Wrong. Because at a certain stage, I realized, I have everything on the outside, but I don't feel anything on the inside. And if I want to be radically honest, I can't even feel. My body is numb. I'm not feeling anything. But then when I realized this and the next step, I'm like, no, that's not true. I actually feel angry. No, you know what? I feel enraged and I have no clue how to deal with that. And also, if I want to be radically honest, as we are already honest, I don't have time for my friends. I miss the spontaneity. I'm continuously in my head. I'm working every day, 7 days a week. And my romantic relationship is really going down the drain. My health isn't as amazing as it is. And I think I lost my faith in something bigger. Life is just harsh. is so much hassle and grinding, and I don't think that's how we're supposed to live, especially not as a woman. What about my magnetism? What about my radiance? And you know what? Again, if I want to be radically honest, I don't trust women. I'm terrified of women. Women, for me, they're all liars, they're cheaters. Instead of working together, we just stab each other in the back, and I don't want to live that way. So I went on a second sabbatical, and in that sabbatical, worked really deeply with shamans and healers and therapists and whatever, and unraveled who I really am, overcame my limiting beliefs, faced deep emotional wounds, and realized that I'm actually here to help people, especially women, especially solopreneurs, back into their creative energy, their feminine energy, and into their brilliance. So that's the story in a nutshell.
I'd like to know here, because I met you as the LinkedIn unicorn, and I was impressed, and I'm gonna call it out now. I was impressed by your authenticity, by your magnetism, by the energy. And I was right in the beginning of the stages of actually going online and being public as a personal brand. And I realized, like, oh my goodness, I will never be like Natalia, because I don't have the guts to dress up as a unicorn. And this performance is, wow, it was impressive, it was daunting, it was humbling. But yet you are telling me right now that this wasn't truly you. And no. I would like to know, how were you able to push that far? Because I know that our bodies, like, I am highly sensitive. At this stage, I cannot push through anything that feels off the grid. I mean, I can work more hours if needed. I can work tired. I can work, you know, we all have our tools ready for these days. But if something is so off the grid, I'll be like, no, hold. How were you able to do this for, what did you say, 7 years?
7 years, exactly. Mm-hmm. The first years, don't get me wrong, the first years were fun. But the last two and a half, three years were a nightmare. So first of all, I want to congratulate you for being so connected to yourself and to your body and to your inner wisdom, and also respecting yourself and setting healthy boundaries. That is a beautiful skill that I wish a lot of other individuals, especially women, will gift themselves with. So once again, kudos. The second thing is, I used to be a competitive athlete. I used to be a dancer for 10 years. So I know how to get myself into an emotional and physical stage to perform. It's all about the show. It's all about the audience. I used to train 3, 4, 5 times per week. And even if I felt tired, even if when my heart was broken, I knew it's showtime, baby. So I could somehow switch characters or switch off certain parts of me in order to entertain others. So it became easy for me. And for me, being a speaker on a stage is a little bit like being a dancer on a stage, and being live or on social media was the same. So for me, I was playing a role, just overwriting my own boundaries. So that was why or how I was able to push so far. Now, when we look at it from a psychological perspective, I was also deeply wounded and confused, believing that I am only lovable, that I'm only worthy when I perform, when I over-deliver. So one of my biggest wrong beliefs, and not core wounds, but I would say mini traumas, however you want to call it, was I am only loved when I perform. So the idea of not performing, of not showing up, of not delivering the speech, of not answering that last message from the client was terrifying, because I thought people would drop me like a hot potato, as we say in German. So that was the reason why I could push through all of this madness, until I literally reached a point where my body said, no, you can't continue any hour, any day, any minute like that, because I'm going to do something terrifying. And I literally had a speech. That was the last speech I ever gave, because I so didn't want to go on stage. And I had an inner dialogue, because I do believe our inner world is very complex. We have all of these different aspects, a part of ourselves. And a part of me was like, you know what? I'll go on stage and I literally start crying in front of everybody saying, I hate this life and job. And I was so terrified that I'm actually going to do that, that I promised myself that this is the last speech and then I'm going to take a break and I'm going to figure out how to do things differently and in a way that feels true to me. Because this thought, this would have been the ultimate failure and embarrassment. And it was my own way of protecting myself.
So that was one sign that your body was giving you, saying that I'm going to make you freak out. I'm going to make you lose control. Were there other signs amongst losing control? Were there other feelings that you can recall today?
Yeah, definitely anger, because I had suppressed my own boundaries. Mm-hmm. There was sadness and grief for all the lost opportunities of spending time with my friends or with my loved one. There was overwhelm because it was way too much work. There was exhaustion because I worked, I don't know if you know a little bit about human design, I always felt that I'm a manifesting generator, but I'm actually a projector. I need a lot of breaks.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So I lived and I worked as if I'm an MG. So imagine how I squeezed the energy out of my own system, how I was literally abusing myself. So yeah, there was also a feeling of being abandoned by myself, rejected by myself. It was a very uncomfortable cocktail. And I, back then, didn't have the emotional maturity or the tools how to regulate my nervous system and how to breathe through that, how to feel. Like I literally thought that some feelings, some quote-unquote negative feelings, are so big that they will kapoof me out of existence.
Wow.
I knew intellectually that this is nonsense, but this is how it felt. It just felt too big. So on this journey, I actually realized, okay, you know what? I need to understand what are emotions, what are unmet needs, how can I express them gracefully? So that was all part of the journey. And it was terrifying and fun at the same time.
I've been observing this journey and I'm not surprised you've been through this. First of all, as a high achiever, just as I am, a former athlete, knowing how to perform. And I think this is the reason why we exist in this world and why we can constantly perform one way or the other and just taking action despite, as I said, being tired, despite a sore throat, because we learned in a very early age that it's showtime whenever you are called, 9 a.m., 10:30, I'm taking the stage. So, and I'm not surprised this happened to you, because even if we now, these days, look at society, and I'm observing society and its behavior as a sociologist a lot, and seeing like how we interact with one another and seeing the movements of the transformation industry. So on one hand, everybody would be shouting, and everybody, people who have the understanding for the industry will say, yes, mental health is important. And you will get your kudos. But at the same time, if you say, sorry, this doesn't feel right for me, you will be quote unquote judged. Mm-hmm. So I know that in our, you know, race-based society, as you said, that when we are only worth something if we perform, and it doesn't really matter what you do, as long as you are doing fine. And this is to the outer world, the most important thing to say, okay, she's got the money. She's looking great. She lives in Dubai. She's traveling the world. She does X, Y, Z, and that's for the world enough. And it's so easy to get lost into this internal mess, as you say, and be like, oh my goodness, what am I even doing? And all I have achieved is nothing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything to you. It feels just the same as it felt yesterday. Like the achievements are so not something everybody's shouting about celebrating it. Like I just sealed a deal last week and I knew it's going to happen at some point. I know the person was pre-sold. I just knew I had to have my 20 minutes to complete the deal. And I thought that this is going to save me. Like I knew I needed this for my ego. Guess what? The next day I wake up in literally the same misery. I thought that this deal is going to save not just my finances, but it's gonna, give me the feeling of being someone like, oh my God. And the next day I wake up, instead of wanting to celebrate or to just do nothing, I wake up and being like, I was expecting something to happen overnight and it didn't. And this is now how I'm trying to bring in joy in the day, like with simple things like cooking or putting on some music and just simple being. Because as you say, missing out on that time, this is time that nobody will give you back and money doesn't buy it. So let me ask you now, when you now think of the new you, so to say, do you show up differently online?
Yeah, big time. I realized that people also. No, let me start that sentence again. I had a more critical look on social media in the past because I was in the business of kind of teaching social media. I told everybody how important personal branding is, and you need to have a LinkedIn profile, and LinkedIn is the thing. I still do believe that personal branding can be very helpful. Or is very helpful, and that LinkedIn can be a fantastic tool or platform. And by now, I realized if you really don't want to use social media, don't use social media. And I'm very transparent about it. Now, don't get me wrong. If you just by hearing the word social media get tensed up, I would thank social media and say, let's figure out what the issue behind that is. Let's work through that. Let's transform it. Let's alchemize it. And then you'll be a little bit freer, you'll be a little bit more of your true self. And then, if you still say social media is not your thing, then I accept that. And then you can use any kind of other digital channel. So that's one of the primary new ways how I show up on social media. The second thing is that I give my best to be even more open and vulnerable. And to go deeper. In the past, I told myself the limiting story that I'm way too deep, I'm way too philosophical, people will not understand me, and social media is shallow and it's all about, oh my God, hashtag glitter Dubai. Well, if you believe that, that's exactly what you get. So now I consciously chose to believe that the right people will like it, will resonate with it. And the other people, let them be and let them go. So I also allow myself to write about topics or to write in the depth that I never dared to write about before. And the third and last aspect is that in the past, I really shied away from talking about my spiritual self or spirituality in general because I was so afraid of being judged as a hippie, as an esoteric, as a baby witch, as whatever. And I realized that this is connected to my biggest gift. It is nonsense. And I'm actually not allowing the right people to find me because of a self-imposed fear or limiting belief. So once again, if people think that spirituality is something that is deeply off-putting or just nonsense, fantastic. Please unfollow me. If it's too disgusting, then block me. You never have to see my face and my content again. And guess what? When I look at my audience before the sabbatical and after the sabbatical, it's more or less the same people. So my fear of, oh my God, everybody will go and I lose my community of 100,000 followers. Again, it was just a nonsense fear. And you won't believe how many messages I now get behind the scenes where people really see me, they really understand, and they are grateful for somebody who speaks the truth, brings in these topics, especially on LinkedIn. So, yeah, all good. It was
Do
worth
you
it.
think that this was something the world was waiting for Natalia to open up? Because if you haven't really lost the people, they have been just probably sensing the same what I did. I think like there is also a tender woman behind the unicorn that probably people have seen, but couldn't really place it because I think this is the energy that is anyways that is us is being transmitted one way or the other. Do you believe in that too?
Absolutely. I mean, I was more, vulnerable, more tender, more playful, more feminine, let's say with my one-on-one clients or offline, but I was terrified of being or showing this aspect of myself online because I haven't understood this part or integrated that part yet. So in case somebody would have attacked it, that was the fear, I wouldn't have been able to, how can I say that, to ignore it or to just
to protect your sanity,
right? To whatever. So, and that's also something that I realized over the years. When you are not fully healed or integrated yet, when there is an aspect that you don't fully own yet, don't talk about it on social. As soon as you're over it, as soon as you felt through it, as soon as you embody it, yalla, get it out there. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very kind and compassionate way how to show up, and nobody can say anything against it, right? So yeah, if anybody needs to hear that, it's fine. We're continuously evolving, and don't beat yourself up emotionally because there are certain aspects of yourself that you can't express or don't want to express publicly yet. That's something that everybody needs to decide. Do I want to express it publicly, and when is the right time?
Absolutely. Like experiencing this firsthand, that I was always a woman who had some sort of the way I looked at myself issues. There was always my body in the way, my looks, and as well, my not native, not being a native English speaker. So I thought, like, do people even understand me when I'm out there saying something? But most of it was like, how do I look? How do people perceive me? Is my makeup okay? Is my, you know, is my hair good? How do I look when I look in the camera? And we all know that, especially in the beginnings, when we make a video of oneself or hear our voice on the first podcast, it's like, cringe, oh my God, please, who is this person talking? They're disgusting. We're not going to listen to this. And I had a long time of pushing through that instead of resolving it for myself, instead of literally doing the mirror work and looking at myself and accepting that the person who is in front of camera giving her blurb as a non-native speaker. And what happened to me, I was very vulnerable there, as you mentioned, because I got a troll and she was... It was not about the subject and the content I was talking about, because I knew she's not now knowledgeable on that level, but she told me that I look stupid and making a fool of myself. So this hit me, and this is where I realized that, well, someone might not be just as ready as she thought she is, because I was still neglecting looking at myself. I was neglecting my voice. I was neglecting basically who I was. And by resolving that, I was also able to show up now without makeup, without a bra, and record that reel the moment it hits me, because I know that this is the most creative, vibrant state when it comes with so much ease, and you have covered suddenly like all your, if you want, if somebody works with that, with all that emotional triggers, and they come in a state of flow, and you'll be like, oh my goodness, we need to now go about this. Because if I put it in my notebook, I can tell you one thing, that if I look at it tomorrow, my brain will tell me, oh my God, this is total BS. Like, let's move on. Or you write it down in a way where you don't even remember what is this all about, right? Because it's not as fresh anymore, like in a fresh state of mind. What is, in your opinion, Natalia, how vulnerable do we need to be as personal brands, and how much do we need to show from our, let's say, personal life, our not so good moments? How important is that in personal branding, in your opinion?
I mean, there is not a scale or there is not a number that I can give you. And I think a maybe easier question to ask is, or a question before that would be, why do I want to be vulnerable? Or what's the purpose of being vulnerable? Why actually do we want to do that? Or why do people preach that? That goes then back to the idea of, why are we using social media? What's the total idea? And for me, it is to build relationships, to build connections, to build trust. And when I talk to my clients, what literally every client tells me is, I saw myself in you. You know, I was following you for 3 years, for 4 years, for a year, And I loved your post, and I felt so seen. I felt so heard. I sometimes felt loved. I felt as if you, when you talked about your own challenges, as if you were putting into words what I couldn't express. And I saw that you understand me. And the way how compassionate you were towards yourself, I knew that if I would open up to you, you wouldn't judge me. And this is the reason why I show myself vulnerable. Now, I go with my intuition and I decide what feels accurate. Now, there are some people who, how do I say that in a kind way? Give me a second. Some people, they tend to overshare because they know that this gives them maybe a little bit more views or more likes or more impressions. Mm-hmm. And they basically turn that into a strategy. So if that works for them and for their brand, fantastic. Another aspect, and it's not for me, but if it works for some people, let them do that. Huh? Who am I to judge them? What I also find challenging when we talk about this topic is when people share that on social media while haven't processed it yet. That's what I mentioned a few minutes ago. What happens is when you talk about something, when you're vulnerable about something that you haven't fully integrated, healed, looked at, loved into wholeness, is that there will be a slight, for a lack of a better wording, victim energy in it. And
resentment and wrong verbalization.
Yeah, it's also more like, oh, poor me, and this happened. And what will happen is then that your audience will be, oh, you know, I love you, and don't worry about it, and the world is so terrible, and whatever. Now, that could help you heal, or that could help you feel being loved. And from a bigger perspective, for me, in that second, you lost a little bit of your authority status. I'll be like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to be mentored by that person, because there's one thing about being vulnerable and owning your stuff. And there's this other thing of posting for attention and for from a place of not enoughness, from a place of woundedness. So, yeah, I know it's complex, and I hope I gave my best to put it into words. Yeah,
I'll try to summarize it. So on one hand, when we post, this is a great analogy. If we post from a place of our scars and not our wounds, we know that we will reach the people we want to reach and either empower and inspire them. When we are posting or speaking not to our communities, or so that somebody through us can see themselves, but we are posting it for our own healing, this is then where we lose a little bit of authority in terms of, well, I don't think she really knows yet what's going on. And I think that can be even very subconscious.
This is my perception. Mm-hmm. Like for mm-hmm. me right now, in this state of my awareness level, this is how I see it. Maybe at a certain stage, I'll say, oh, that was very ignorant. And again, for this time, this is how I perceive the situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, social media has for me been a healing journey in terms of, okay, what do I need to heal within, what I need to go through to, and alchemize it, as you say, in order to be able to share. And I think not just finding the way how I want to communicate, but it has really given me some pushes to find my identity quicker after everything that has happened as a personal brand, but also privately, because every time you put something out there and you are exposed to the public, which is no matter, you can have two views, it's still public, and you are that person that everybody can find suddenly, has given me so much more audacity to also vouch for myself and be right. Really so in depth of, okay, this is who I am, take it or leave it. But it has been a journey. It didn't happen overnight. And I think starting is the one thing that we need to address here. And the rest will happen if you're willing to put in the work and the thoughts. I want to deep dive a little bit into your sabbatical, if somebody is interested in that, how you became the Natalia you are today, the vulnerable woman, the woman who is taking care of herself, who knows what she wants, who knows what joy means, what ease means, and you basically rebuilded your entire business. What were the stages during your sabbatical?
So first of all, I had a beautiful conversation or a session with a now friend who is a personal development mentor and an astrologist. So I thought, astrology, oh my goodness, not sure about that. But you know what? I have nothing to lose. And when I'm preaching the open, I shouldn't be so ignorant, right?
But
so
let's keep it session. Secret.
Exactly. let's not talk about it on LinkedIn. No, I actually called myself out on my BS, and I mentioned it in my book, Barefaced Authenticity, 25 Flawsome Stories from the Journey to the True Self. I've mentioned it so that people now know, and this is also, as you said, part of my healing journey. But let's get back to what we figured out. So I asked her, you know, what is up for next year? What do you see? And she told me everything, and I recorded the session, and I listened to it 3 times, and I took notes, and you know, being an academic, also social scientist, I thought, what are the 3 goals that I can deduct from that? And how am I going to do it? Because I didn't want to go on a sabbatical to, quote unquote, find myself, as so many people say. Finding is a challenging word. I think we already know. It's just about remembering who we truly are. Some people would say, nah, semantics. I'm like, no, big difference, but let's not go that way. So what are the 3 things I figured out, or the goals, the targets? Number one was to create content and create to express myself for the sheer purpose of creative expression. So in the past, I forced myself, I sometimes even say I quote unquote pimped myself to be creative, and I had to monetize everything. So that was a very male yang energy, in the sense of it was everything was about the end result. And I had lost or forgotten about the beauty of the process, about experiencing, which is more the feminine energy of, you know, I'm going to the flow, let's see what I'm going to birth, and I'm going to enjoy, and I'm going to experience pleasure and ease, and I'm doing that for myself, because this is a blessing in itself. So that for me, I understood intellectually, and it felt alien, and if I want to be radically honest, it also felt terrifying. So I was like, yeah, we're going to do that. So as part of my sabbatical, I literally gifted myself most probably every week or 2 weeks with a creative experience, from 5 rhythms dance to painting to creating your own perfume, breath work, yoga, whatever it was, to surrender to the moment, to not have any expectations, and to meet myself. Which brings me to the second point. The second point was all about, where do I stand in my own way? Where do I wear masks? Where do I pretend to be somebody that I'm not, which is based on wrong beliefs, but also inner wounds, past trauma, whatever. So in that process, I also worked with therapists, shamans, healers, and you know, we can heal or integrate aspects of ourselves through everything. An example, I took singing lessons. I took singing lessons, and at a certain stage, my singing coach said, Natalia, you know, why don't you sing this song? And I thought, oh boy, this is a Grammy award-winning singer. She's fantastic. And I was so confused back then. I tried to sing the song exactly as she was singing it. Surprise, surprise, it's not possible. My singing coach wanted me to sing that song in my way, but I, with my high ambitions, being German, being a Capricorn, expected from myself after 1 month of singing lessons that I'm going to sing as an award-winning singer. Weird that it didn't work, right? So at a certain stage, I literally collapsed in one of our singing lessons, crying my heart out, because I realized that my inner judge was screaming so loud, and I felt defenseless, and a part of me, my inner mother or my inner father, awakened and said, until here and no more. Like, this is not how you talk to Natalia. And that was that was one of the most profound moments I've experienced over the last 3 years. So that was the second part with a little story. And the third and last part was, what does true femininity mean? Not feminism, that's something totally different, but being a woman, womanhood. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't trust women. I was deeply disappointed and betrayed by women over and over again. May it be through money, may it be through relationships, may it be through anything, trust, promises, so many aspects. And I learned that I need to forgive myself and other women, and that I was ready for true sisterhood, for going away from competition into true community and calling women out in a kind way and being called out and really being initiated into womanhood, you know, letting my little girl heal and letting my inner teenager and then experiencing inner peace. And that was a gorgeous journey, especially in the safe container of women retreats, women just meeting women. And again, when I thought about it first, the thought of spending 1 week just with other women, back then I would call them bimbos or drama queens, annoyed me so much, Ivana, I almost canceled my flights and the attendance to the retreat, because I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm going to physically hurt somebody. And of course, you know,
it's illegal. Retreat,
yeah, I'm not going to do that. But in the course, in the retreats, I met women who are exactly as I was. And I met women on the totally other spectrum, being highly feminine and being in a poor me energy. So we clashed, but we, after 2-3 days of hating each other and not talking, we actually started to see each other. And it was just fascinating how after 5 or 7 days, we realized, why? How? This is crazy. And let's start a new way how we treat each other, and let's bring this message out to the world. So that was basically what my whole sabbatical was about. And in that process, I also discovered the art of human design. I learned a little bit astrology, also invested in energy healing, Akashic records, all of these things that helped me understand my soul path more and how I can actually guide my future clients, and how it is that I truly want to work. How is it that I truly want to spend my day? You know, if money wouldn't be an option, what is it that I truly want? Not what my ego wants, but how can I find the balance between my ego and my soul? How can I find the balance between my inner masculine and my inner feminine? How can I find the balance between work and my romantic relationships and my friends? How much rest do I need? All of these questions. And yeah, it was a journey of 9 months, and it was one of the best gifts I have ever gifted or presented myself with.
If you could summarize, Natalia, now how your day looks like a day at work compared to the years before, what is here the big difference, and how does it show in, like, are you achieving more, are you achieving less, does this still matter, or do you just simply work from a more from an aspect of making an impact than making money?
Great question. So I was totally confused about what success means to me. My old definition of success was almost only focusing on materialistic aspects like status, fame, money, whatever. I still love that, don't get me wrong. And I've added aspects like friendships, of how much time do I have for myself, how much time do I have with my favorite human. So these are all aspects that need, or containers that need to be filled. Now, when it comes to my day, I don't use an alarm anymore. I literally sleep as long as I want. I rest as much as I can, because I finally accepted that I am a projector, that I'm a woman, and I am not here to perform and to overachieve and overdeliver, because I know my worth. We women, actually, we are home in the world of being. The masculine is home in the world of doing. And that also brings back what we talked about earlier. Our society at the moment is in a place of hypermasculinity. Now, don't get me wrong, I love men. Men are fantastic. We all have an inner male and inner female aspect inside of us. And we as women and men at the moment, literally the majority of us, ignore our feminine, judge it as lesser than, don't see a value of it, or are terrified of it. I used to be the same person or having the same challenges 3 years ago. So now I literally ask myself, when I wake up, how do I want to spend my morning? So in the past, I would, many, many years ago, wake up at 5 o'clock or 5 a.m. club, you know, and then I do my 100 burpees and then I meditate and then I journal and then I write my emails and then I create content for the next 2 weeks and then I write a speech and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So at the end of the day, I felt like such a cool dude. Like, why do I need a man in my life? Men are so weak. Rah! Like, literally, women and men were terrified of me because I was so much in my raw energy. Now, in the mornings, I'm like, how do I feel? What is it that I want to do? So I literally created a menu for myself, a morning menu. I'm like, do I feel like singing? Do I feel like dancing? Do I want to do a breathwork session? Do I do some stretching? Do I do these and these exercises? Then I have an inner dialogue. What is it that I want to do today? What is it that my business needs today? And then I work from this place of intuition and inspiration, and I let things flow, which is more natural. I have more energy. I make or achieve things faster. So because of that, because of working with the flow, I have more time to do whatever I want to do. People say I'm more attractive, quote unquote, in the sense of attracting, in the sense of being magnetic, being open. People feel drawn to what I do and who I am. And this is the beauty when we are our true brilliant self, right? So to answer the last part about achieving, making money. So I realized that true success for me also means having enough time to contemplate and to read and to rest and to bake and to do yoga and all of that.
Enjoy beautiful Bali and enjoy beautiful Dubai and all the places. I think the Caribbean was a wake-up call for me like this, because I used to live 5 years in Greece, not knowing my own village, kind of.
Wow.
Right? Wow. I mean, I knew places, but there were so many corners to discover that seemed not important. Like, you know, sometimes you need to turn around every single rock to see what's beneath. And here I'm still going way too little to the beach. I'll be honest. Sometimes it's just laziness because my balcony is just as beautiful. But I do need to, I'm trying to teach myself to enjoy these things because it's the reason why we are here.
Right? That's why you moved.
And this is, I think it's so beautiful and it's so powerful. And then at some point you sit, maybe you feel that too, and you'd be like, okay, now I'm going to my office. And it's like a, like something taking you and bringing you to your chair and doing the work, and there is no force, there is nothing that really feels yuck.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it feels yuck, have an inner conversation. Ask yourself, why does it feel yuck? Mm-hmm. Does it come from an energy, or because everybody does it that way? Is it because I'm supposed to do it that way? I just don't believe in that anymore. I really believe, especially when it's your own business, it's your rules. Of course, there are some legal rules. This is something maybe we, quote unquote, should follow. But everything else, in my perception of reality, is negotiable. So find a way how it will bring you joy. Find a way to tweak it that it energizes you, and then take it from there. There's no right or wrong. Have the courage to experiment and figure out what feels true to you.
I love this. I couldn't summarize this any better. And it just gives me such a push to be like, even more, there is more, better, easier, more joyful. Because after all, I don't know, I think we're spending 80% of our lifetime working. So perhaps we just might also have fun.
Absolutely. And then when we are fun, or when we experience fun, again, we become magnetic, we become attractive, which is a natural skill or gift of the feminine. Like we are, it's so, for me, it's bizarre that in all of these marketing messages and all of these pictures and whatever, the communication on social media, we see attractive women. It's all about shining, being shining and radiant and smiling. But because we work so much, the majority of us, we Photoshop, we take Botox, we take fillers, we actually hurt ourselves, we're faking it, instead of moving a few steps back and being that without all of these external crutches, we would achieve so much more.
Nobody looks like this 24/7.
Often
we just, I wake up looking like a wreck and I don't know even why. And I look at myself and be like, really? But we just got to roll with that because this is who you are today. And putting on something, I don't even feel like putting on makeup because I always say like I have made the most money with no proper pants on. And I sit in my office in the morning and I do the work in quiet and peace. I don't even feel like, you know, looking like somebody, but then me. But it was a hard learning to understand that it's not all about the shiny things, but it's actually we can be oneself. And I so appreciate your message and everything you taught us today, Natalia. I know that you have a masterclass coming up. I want to hear more about it, please.
Yes. So the masterclass, we launch it in a few days. It's called Reinvent Yourself, Personal Rebranding with LinkedIn. Who am I targeting with that? I realized that a lot of individuals currently went through an inner transformation, a change, and they realized that their LinkedIn profile doesn't adequately represent themselves or represent them anymore. And a lot of these individuals, when I asked them like, oh my goodness, great, you went through a change. So what is it that your brand is now about? And they start talking, it's like, la, 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 la. And I'm like, somebody went through the change, but they never actually got the data out of their head onto paper. So I realized, you know what, let's park LinkedIn for a second and let's go back to your rebranding or your repositioning. How are you now different from the person that you were? What is your new energy? What are you leaving behind? Who is it that you truly are? And then let's build a brand based on your core essence, on your true self. And then I take people by the hand and step by step through each and every section of a LinkedIn profile. I guide them so that their new profile is a landing page. It's like a shop window so that it's as attractive as they could be and that it represents their new style and vibe and energy. That is something I decided to birth because so many individuals out of my quote unquote old community still get back to me and say, oh, can you help me about my LinkedIn profile and personal branding? And I'm like, not sure. And then the new people that I work with one-on-one, you know, we work on self-sabotage, we work on morning routines, we work on more energy. And then they're like, yeah, but I also need to be kind of like my new LinkedIn profile. So I realized, how can I bring these two groups together? How can I create a product, a self-study program that, you know, fills the containers or needs of both target audiences? They have it out there. They can learn it by themselves. If they have questions, they can book me because, as I said, my times of being a LinkedIn unicorn was fantastic and I'm done with it. I'm over it. But that was kind of like the last gift or present, which for me beautifully represents the old knowledge and the newly gained wisdom. So it introduces my old audience to the new Natalia and it gives my new audience the knowledge of the old Natalia. So yeah, if anybody is interested in that, we're going to send you the link to it. If you can't find it, then simply reach out on social media, either on Instagram or LinkedIn, and we'll take it from there.
Awesome. I'm already signed up, friends, because I have my love-hate relationship with LinkedIn. And I think if someone can teach us how to navigate this platform, then it's Dr. Natalia Wichowski. My last question before we unfortunately have to go, right? I could be speaking about this forever. Natalia, how are you planning on spending your old years?
My old years? Hopefully a lot of time in nature, a lot of time cooking and baking, being in a community of individuals who are the true selves, who are laughing every day, dancing, giggling, being free, and who are of service to others. I want to be in a beautiful environment with my favorite human by my side. And again, friends, gorgeous, fantastic individuals. I will be healthy. I will be radiant. And I will be super grateful for every day. And yeah, grateful for being able to co-create heaven on earth.
This resonates so much. So I would say I see you there. And thank you for being on the show.
You are most welcome. See you there.